automatically people dub me with the attribute of omnipresence. Omnipresence, I'm everywhere. Because infinite existence, wherever you think, whatever direction is there, it's omnipresence. So I get the attribute of being omnipresent. Being omnipresent, there is no speck where I'm not. Being at every point, my presence is there. So when my presence is there, that means I know everything. I am that, you see. Means anything that is there, it's not his presence, but his being that. So what happens is that I am present in this corner, that corner, there, everywhere. So that gives me the attribute of omniscience. Because if I am present everywhere, my presence is everywhere, then I must know. But I am. So that gives the attribute of omniscience. I know everything. So knowing everything means I know everything. I know how to create, how to sustain, how to destroy. That gives me the attribute of omnipotence. All this, and there are many things like that that he started enumerating and saying that all this is as a sequel to my being being existence in the eternal. So intrinsically I am existence. Infinite and eternal. Now then he says that if I know everything, what do you mean by am I knowing everything? Omniscient means what? What does that imply? Is I must know everything. That's what we said, you must know everything. So what does that imply? Knowing everything. Is knowing everything. So it means he will know everything that exists, that doesn't exist, and everything that whatever you may imagine. So what is the experience then? He will ask, what could be my experience if I know everything? So he says, my experience of knowing everything is that there is nothing to know. Suppose, will you have the snake to hear? You don't have it. I have it for you. So you don't have it, so you will have want it, no? Anything that is there. But when you don't want anything, it implies that you must be having everything. It implies that. When does a person want nothing or needs nothing? Then you must be having everything. So when does he knows everything, what does that imply? That there is nothing to know. What does that imply, that there is nothing to know? What do you mean by there is nothing to know? So Baba told us that literally there is nothing for me to know. That means that I know everything. How can that be? It's contradictory. There is nothing to know and yet you say that I know everything. He puts the counter question. He says, yes, it's a fact. The experience is that there is nothing to know. Therefore, I am all-knowing. How is it possible? So he says, it's so simple. If you just allow your limited mind to touch those fringes of reality, because my experience of there is nothing to know implies this. That this now, suppose if I want to know this, so that means myself and this carpet are two different things. I want to know this. When I don't want to know this, it implies that I am the carpet. Does the carpet want to know itself? What it is? It is there. I want to know myself. Why? Because I am not myself. I call myself Eros, which I am not. I want to know myself. Why is it? Because I and my true self are not one and the same. Therefore there is an attempt all the time wanting to know. anything, the, for anybody wanting to know anything is a poor attempt to become it. That's what Baba says. Once you become it, there's nothing to know. So my being omniscient is that I am in everything. Because again it boils down to that, infinite existence. Anything that is in existence, I am it. So my being infinite existence implies that there's nothing to know. And that is knowing everything. Because I am it. You understand me? This was what I wanted you to know. It might be of use sometime. Your potential lover. Because Melbourne is such a place where we must have such people. Ina, What do you say to that?
Such people?
Yeah, that there must be some such people, you see, in your area, Ina, when there should be a proper rapport between what you understand of Baba and these new ones who have just heard about Baba. They must know what he implies, what he means by his omniscience, what he means by his omnipresence, what he means by his omnipotence. So I'm preparing the field for you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, you're preparing the field here too. For her, perhaps. Oh, wait a minute. I'm perhaps getting a little mixed up.
No, for her I'm preparing.
Quite apart from that.
Because I'm saving your labor.
Thank you. Yes.
So you'll have a ready-made cake for you to eat it and relish it.
Cake or no cake?
She has met Baba years ago.
She's telling it the other day. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh. How many years have passed by?
A lot of years, Eric.
No.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable,
yeah.
Almost, to me when I count
see,
up.
Yeah.
Eric, when you tell stories like you were doing before after UNT of being with Barbara on the train and so on, do you relive them?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I enjoy myself. Well, at that time we never enjoyed.
No.
So that's how it is. That's how when it is said that not a leaf quivers without my will. You may have heard this without the will of God. Even children have heard that. Yeah. Whether you be a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jew or a Parsi or anybody, you all know this. One little phrase, as we call it. Is it a clause or a phrase? It's a clause. That not a leaf quivers without my will. That's what Baba used to say that. What does it imply? It implies that without his will it won't quiver, it won't dance. Does it mean that he has ample leisure like that to order a particular leaf to dance and a particular leaf to remain stationary? No, because he is it. That's what he means. You follow? He is it. Therefore, it's his will. Whenever he wants to quiver, whenever he is blown in the wind, whenever it loses its light there, just strays out. Drops. It is it. It is him. So that's what it implies. That's what he used to tell us. Teach us with little these little figures. May one tell some give some more yarns? Do you recall anything?
Yeah, I recall that Gustavji is gathering the rubbish.
Yeah.
Mansion. I also once witnessed this.
What did you see?
Baba had once called us in Satav. And there was a small meeting there. some few of us were called, and then while returning, Gustavji requested Adi that he has a few packages to be delivered to my sister here, Meru, in Nagar.
Yeah.
So Adi agreed to take them. So Adi didn't know what he was in for. He just said, yes, I'll take them. And then when the time came for departure, Gustavji slowly started bringing out his packages. Collection of rubbish of several months. And his whole back dicky was full of it. Then slowly more parcels came out, and the whole top carrier was filled up. Still more packages started. And we could see his car getting more and more loaded. Eventually the back seats were all filled. So yeah, suddenly Adi got so annoyed, and we were witnessing the scene. He suddenly started throwing out everything. The whole road was scattered with all newspapers. So Baba happened to come by and said, now what's all this going on? And I told him that, see Baba, how he's taking advantage of it. So Baba said, now no, since you have agreed to take them, you pick up everything and take it. So then he had to lift up. The whole car was full of it, and Adi was cursing the whole way.
Baba laid great stress on once you have given the word, you have to fulfill it.
Yeah.
But Gustavji had no wants, no needs also, really no needs, I must say that. In spite of it all, he would go in for all these things. So often, you see, when people have no need for anything and no wants, then people think that he will need them. So people would bring soap cakes, soft mattresses, pillows, blankets and all, and they would be all bundled up. Never used. I still remember when he died, when he sorted out his luggage, his brother had come. They were all there. And we said, oh my, in my early years, you see, I had brought him pure soap, the best of the soap, you see, and best of his perfume bottles, and such, oh, that mattress, oh, with great care I had done it, and he has never used it again, with the silk covering on it. It was like that.
He just collected all those things, he never used them.
And that watch he had?
The golden watch, you see. He had a gold watch, wrist watch with alarm in it. Hmm? At that time, no alarm. And his brother said, because all the world knew about it, that Gustavji had it. Baba had given him, So his brother came to collect his luggage. His brother, that is mentioned in that book. Where is that book? Slamson, his brother's youngest brother. So he came, he was sorting out there right on the veranda of that cottage there. So he was going through all that, and of course all that rubbish he just scattered all around. Everything was nothing but rubbish, except those good cakes of soap and some perfume bottles and good mattresses and pillowcases and pillows and all that. And then he said, he called me and he says, Erich, you remember Baba had given him a gold watch? I said, yeah. He said, has he given it away to anybody? He says, no. He said that it is meant for his younger brother Slamson, that is for yourself. Said, but where is it? I can't find it. I said, you find it? It will be there. Nobody takes it. Nobody cares for it here. We don't care for anything, you see. Although we have everything. But it's like that. You just go and see my bed now, if you were to go and see. It's all piled up there now. In the evening, you see, I'll get so tired and so I'll throw the thing there. Why all these things are there? And then I'll make the bed and then go to sleep. It's there, right now there. Yeah. So, I said, find out, it will be there somewhere. He said, I've searched everything. I said, have you searched everything? says, yeah, it's not in the suitcase. I said, you won't find such things in suitcases or anything. He's not the person to keep it in such safety, you see, which means our traditional safe places, untraditional safe places. So he says, where? Have you seen that shoe that you have thrown out there? And literally it was so. I just joked with him. Have you seen in the shoe that... He says, no, there's nothing there. I said, then I went there and I just pressed the shoe. You know, in shoe, to keep it in shape, but what type of a shoe it was? It was that rubber, you know, ordinary, at the time monsoon we were very cheap. 4 rupees a pair it was at the time, you see. And even that he had repaired it, you see. He had repaired it many times, with stitched it with thread and all that, but then even that would break, so he had stitched it with wire. So it was this, and he wanted to keep it there. So it was naturally to keep that shoe in shape, he had shoved in newspapers. I said, have you seen them? He says, how can it be in that, a gold watch like that? I said, one can never be sure about Guspar, you try to see it. So he opened the thing, you see, from one packet, another, all that rubbish was there, you see. What do you call the padding that was there? So he started opening, loosening it out. And sure enough, at the very end of it was a gold watch wrapped up in rags, you know, that the rubbish paper, you know, dirty paper, a gold watch that was in the lawn. I said, see how you have thrown the thing out, but it was there. So such was this stuff.
When I had come here, he wanted to show me that watch. And in fact, Baba reminded him about it. So he said, not now. After some time. And then he called Baba and me to the room and closed the doors, closed the windows, made sure nobody was looking. Then he brought out the watch from somewhere, bound it, and rang the alarm. Baba said, smiling, he said, what a good watch it is. Then again he hid it inside and then opened the window.
Have you seen the picture of Gustaji?
I'm not sure that I have.
Where's the book?
Right.
Is there a story connected with his dropping the body?
Yeah.
Is Slamson still alive?
Slamson died also. Yeah.
Was he involved?
Can you pick up Gustaji from here?
This one.
Yeah. Without seeing it.
Without knowing.
Just
watch. Look at his pants. They look like they're made of newspapers.
Wasn't it Gustaji that used to be with Sai Baba and
Kansas? Yes, all. Sai Baba, Upasthi Maharaj, Baba Jan.
Oh, very incredible.
Do you know how he came into Sai Baba?
He came through his younger brother, Homi, who used to visit Sai Baba. And it so happened one day, you know, he was a poster, he was working as a salesman in a photographer's store in Bombay, Gustaji, before coming to Baba. As a young man? Yeah, he was there at the time. So then what had happened was that he developed a liking for learning music. And adjoining to that store, the shop, what was it then? Then of course we laid him down on the same sofa that I was there. We put him there and we were wondering what has happened to him. We didn't know that he had died, you see.
Yeah.
It was sort of Chesterfield that divided that part of Erich's office, as it were. See, that made a partition and made it like part of a room for Erich to sit on. It's a veranda.
It's not an office at all, it's floor.
It's floor. Yes, it's covered behind, is a trellis this side and a chest up here this side. Well, that made it like a room, isn't it? And
yes.
He would sit on the floor, he would open the cupboard with his right hand from behind, take out sheets of paper or anything he needed for writing, and we who came along would sit on that chest up here, which faced the other way. It was a fine kind of a thing, not an ordinary kind of a chest up here. So we could sit there, look over the counter, as it were, talk to Erich, get things. That's where he was sitting, Vishnu. So Gohar, and I was right next to Gohar afterwards as I came out, and what is? And we laid him out like that on the chest of David. And then Baba was told, I think he was in his room or something.
Baba, he was resting, Baba. It was night time.
Night time.
7 came. O'clock I think it was.
Baba came,
yeah, was called.
Yeah.
7 o'clock.
That's night?
Oh, evening that's time. Night. For us it was night time.
So no pulse, gone. Eyes closed, and that's Vishnu's. And so Baba came along, and Baba did that. And so Gohar or one of us heard the shout, Vishnu, Baba's calling, Baba's here. And I tell you, he opened his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He opened his eyes, and as he opened it, Baba was standing in such a way he looked straight at Baba, and then he closed them again.
Mm-hmm.
Just. But he obeyed the command of the master, mm-hmm. even after the thought of his God. In fact, this is because he had been called. I think I mentioned that in the family letters. I must read the family letters again.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. You read the family book of family letters. First, start with family letters. You become conversant with the family, then you become
first
conversant. Then you become conversant with the head of the family. No, I always recommend people, you know, to read family letters. You all are asking us stories, they're all there. Almost all of them. You just see, and many more and many beautiful incidents are there. You may have read it, Doc.
Which one?
Family letters.
Some of them, yes.
Some of them?
Yes.
Not the volume?
Not the volume.
Ah.
Yeah.
You see, those letters were really from Baba.
Mm-hmm.
To me, because even if I try and delay, try to get out of it, just as soon as a letter would be gone, a very few days, a couple of weeks would go by, Baba, and I'd come in here, but good, have you written another family letter? You see, I always protest, oh, but Baba, it's only just gone. It's not even two weeks. I mean, it's, oh, yes. As if Baba means, oh, I forgot. Yes, that's right. But it would disturb me, you know, sort of push me. So, oh, my goodness. Again, I try to forget the family letters for some time, the complete holiday, till I have to think again. But Baba would keep reminding. And again, a week or so would go, and Baba said, oh, you were busy now. You were writing the family letters? Only just, you know, just gone and... Oh, right, that's right. That's right, Father. That's right. So then there was a package of little to go beside the door. And I said, Baba, tell them all about it. And Baba, one morning, soon after we got there, when are you going to send out a family letter? And then by that time I said, Baba, you know, I'll start from now, after unpacking and everything is done, and then we will start and we will do it. Fine. So then my mind would go back, you know, try and come back to the family. I would keep information on slips of paper and things like that. After it was done, I would first take it to Erich would go through it. If something was, fact wasn't right, he would say, no, it didn't happen like that, it was like that. Or whatever, then I would stick them together. And after forming it, I sometimes want this para to be here, this para to be there. So I'd cut out and then stick together. And one day I had a page that long. It's what would come after which. That long. And there were times when I was later on typing in the what we call the onion godown. That is a godown, a store over where for some reason Nadia was storing all her onions, along with the trunks and the pots and the pans, brooms hanging from the ceiling, and tipple carriers tied up neatly by the beams. And there, onions, lots of onions. There was a bed, a string bed, lots of onions on it, underneath it, there was a shelf full of onions. So I used to in the latter years, I used to do, or at least maybe 1 or 2 years, type the family, then take the Gurdam. Baba would come over from the women's side to the Mandali hall here. I would go straight to that Gurdam. And it, maybe it was the aroma that came from the onions, I don't know. It kept me awake and fresh, you know. So I'd light an incense to get the smell out of the onions. Put a little watch there and keep one eye over here on this door. When would Baba be coming back? So Baba would say, when we were in group, he said, all right, at last those slips of paper that I've gotten will be together. And then when I really started it, Baba would have ideas like, Baba would say, what about a picture? What about seeing a movie, all of you? Why don't you go to a movie? And I said, oh no, not a movie, not now. I've got so much to do and I've just got my thoughts together. But then of course we get into the spirit of it because that's what Baba wants. To a movie and then really enjoy it. Next morning Baba said, have you finished the family in the and I said, how can I? We were taking the, you know, we went to the pictures, Baba, we had to do this and this. After Eric saw to it and Francis would see to, you know, just go through it.
The English of it.
Then Eric would read it to Baba. And then Baba would either add some message in it or say something wasn't take that out. Some sentence would be removed, or he would give another message, be sure to put that in. That was any time when he wanted a message in. And then when the thing was finally done, I would get an embrace. Because this was the best. Everyone was the best. Each one was the best, you see. There was no good or better.
But it was. It was like that.
This
time,
this family, this is the best.
You had no deadline. It didn't come up.
No, I had with myself a deadline. It had to go along with things Baba scheduled. Plus, they were waiting. Fred and Ellen were going to get the copies, and they would be sending out the cycle starting. So, once that was done, 1 hour later, we thought it started growing like everything else. Like Baba lovers everywhere, just kept growing. More people wanted copies. So
India wanted it then.
And then India wanted it. We sent, he said, you know, so and so found out about it. In India, Baba lovers in India started wanting it. So Carrie Harp was here. She said she would take over the typing of the copies for the India. But then she left. So that whole thing came back here. Then we started the cycle styling for India as well. I tell you, it just grew and grew and kept growing. And the mailing and posting out, of course, Eris did a lot of that. So by the time it was finished and sent out, there would be at least just a month, really, I could have a respite without even thinking of the family, except about the reminders. So it was really, what I'm trying to say to you all this is that those letters were really from Baba. If it hadn't been for Baba, none of them would have gotten there. I did my very best to try and get out of them, you know, so, but it was Baba's wish, and that's why they got written, and that's why I can really say they wrote about it.
No, but many wouldn't write letters as anybody would write a letter, although it was known as family letter. She worked on it, and she was meticulous about it. And that's why it was a headache to her. If I were given the opportunity, I would have just scribbled the whole thing, you see, and sent it out. But she wouldn't want it that way. She wanted it to be perfect, to the point, not too long, not too short, although each family letter is a bit longish letter. But it was really, because of the family letters, there is the record, so to say. First-hand record that is kept.
But I will never forgive myself for one lapse in the family letter. It was neither noticed nor was it taken up with Baba. Maybe it's Baba just made it closer or forget with the wind, as it were. Whereas the Gustavji is passing away.
It's not mentioned.
You are not real. It's not there.
How did you come to know that?
You see, we didn't know. We had no.
We were in Bombay at the time.
You all then in Bombay. What year was it?
We were in Bombay. I don't know.
It's 50. 50. It was before the 57.
57?
Yeah.
57. When did you start the
terminology?
So at that time I hadn't so much contact.
No, you must have mentioned in Billy's letters. You know, we have got another file which are not printed.
But if it's 57, I've started family
with 56. 56 after the accident.
And this was after that Gustavji died? But you see, at that time, I wasn't, there wasn't communication with the men on the Orbit Erich or something like that at that time. So.
What other files are there?
What did you say? No sooner, just a mistake, you see, from my tongue. It's a slip of the tongue, you know.
Jack, I got another check. $100, you can have it.
We were in Bombay when
he died, yeah.
In Pendu's room.
I never got communication of how or what had happened till quite some time later. Because that's probably how it started.
The thing is that prior to these family letters, Mani had started correspondence in a way that a small group, a nucleus of Baba lovers who had come very close to Baba, could get the information, that which was supposed to reach them. So she, the liaison officer there was Billy Eaton at the time. Yeah. So she would address the letters to Billy, and Billy would acknowledge there with a big cat picture. And she would also say, "Dear Billy," means another cat to be drawn, you see, and so forth. So we have those.
Billy in the Indian language means cat.
Billy means cat.
How many years did that go on?
How many years must have been?
I don't know. She said it's.
We have got a volume of it.
She called it Operation Topsy because she said it was like Topsy. Mm-hmm. There's a story of a girl called Topsy who grew and grew and grew while this was just growing and growing. So it was Topsy. Then, when Baba had that accident, he told me to write to everyone about the accident. He said to the whole family. And that's when I started, dear family. And that's when that letter also was read to him. There's not a single letter that was not read out to Baba. I've been discussing that.
So that was the only correspondence to the West, then, basically.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No. There were personal correspondence, that's different. But this is in general.
But this was for everybody.
Oh, no. I started correspondence in 1954. And I was very green then, you know, as a secretary. And I answered every question that came in a letter. Long descriptions and long explanations and pages. And now I wonder how anybody even read it. I still remember I'd written to Irene Carnaby, who had written extraordinary questions, and I pondered over them. I looked them up. I thought over it. I studied it, and I replied. And years later, she said, "Well, I must have torn up those letters. I can't be bothered to read long letters."
Oh, no.
I could have baked more cakes because I was doing a lot of things then with the family. People kept talking about how to make cakes, so I was making little fancy cakes and doing all kinds of many things.
Puppets.
All our sewing and everything. And I used to write these letters. There was a girl called Violet Dissela in Los Angeles or San Francisco or somewhere in California, and she would write the first letters, and I would reply faithfully to each thought, each question that she wrote. And in one letter she asked me what plane I was on. I've not even been on an airplane. So came to the meeting, and I'm quite sure she's on the third floor. And I said, "Oh, Baba, how did you find her like that?" And then she asked me about light. She was sure I saw light. Something she got from my letter was light. And I said, "Having seen the light of love in Baba's eyes, there's nothing no other kind of light I want to see. Try to temper her down. Try to. Then the last letter was that she was going to buy the sofa Baba sat on at the airport or somewhere in Los Angeles. Anyway, that tapered out. Then I got a little bolder, a little more knowing in the ways of letter writing. So next time when somebody wrote to me asking questions, I thought this can't go on. I must make it very plain who Baba is. If she accepts it, fine. If not, then there's no point in my wasting my time. As a matter of fact, that was the daughter of Dr. Ben Heyman, who's a very dear Baba lover. Very close. After Ben Heyman died, Rose, because feeling a friendship of Ben for me and Baba's love, she thought I was the person to write to, so she started writing to
me. Saran eko kam dubra me dono kaye na maya mili na ram dekho dekho re bhai naam nadiya dubat jaye kabir kutta ram ka moti naam dharaye gale vich dori prem ki jit kheche tit ja dekho dekho re bhai naam nadiya dubat jaye. Kabir, he says, Kabir himself says that Kabir is Ram's dog,
red dog,
a pet. His name is Moti, which means pearl. Kabir is Ram's dog. The dog's name is Moti. And round his neck is the leash of love. And wherever it is pulled, Kabir follows. Kabir kutta Ram ka moti naam dharaye gale bich dori prem ki jit kheche tit jaye dekho dekho re bhai naam nadiya dubat jaye. The refrain that comes after every verse is, look, brother, look, see, naam nadiya dubat jaye. The river is drowned in the boat.
River is getting drowned in the boat.
Like the ocean gets drowned in the drop. In this, this part, this way.
The ocean is getting drowned
in the drop. But she told us, aage mare singra, maya. Because Baba used to quote that also. In one verse where Maya is compared to, I suppose, a bull. Anyway, because it's got horns in the front and the kicks at the back. No matter which way you approach it, you either get the horns thrust on you or you get the kicks from behind. So. But the one we were just saying about, like, Kavi touches every aspect of a human living, life, everyday life, daily living, day-to-day life.
When you say that about the blacksmith.
The blacksmith. Jis ghat prem ne sinchare, us ghat manu masar. Jaise khal lohar ki swas let bin pran dekho dekho re bhai naam nadiya dubat jaye. Kabir says that form, that body which houses no love, is like the smithy's bellows, which also breathes but does not live. So love is life. Marna marna sab koi kahe mari na jaane koi marna ho to aise maro ke phir na marna hoi dekho dekho re bhai naam mein nadiya dubat jaye. He says everyone talks of dying, so is dead, this one is dying. Everywhere you hear people talk about dying and wanting to die, marna marna sab koi kahe, but nobody knows how to die. If you must die, then die in such a way that you never have to die again. That means get to where you'll be freed from the wheel of being born and dying. And this goes on and on and on. So what are you talking about dying? You don't even know what it is to die. Marna marna koi kahe, marina jane koi, marna ho to aise maro, ke phir na marna hoi. देखो देखो रे भाई नाम में नदियां डूबत जाए but that is nothing to do with Kabir रंग लागत 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 रंगारी मिस्टर कपिल you know that's how I really learnt my Gujarati because there was a Kabirwani in Gujarati on Behram's table at home. So I just learned elementary Gujarati 1 year in school. So I had nothing else to read in Gujarati. So I would read this, it's so beautiful this. And Aage Piche Ram Hai Sui, there is also that verse in which says that even behind a needle, God is not missing. You might think God is not here because it's a needle is so fine. Surely behind a needle God couldn't be. But even there he is. It's a very beautifully put. I don't remember all. I suppose I'll recall a number of them this afternoon.
In the point of a needle.
In the point of a needle. What other ones?
She was saying
whatever. Mera remembers some sometimes. Sometime I may remember more, huh?
You should sing an Arati.
Did
you? You should sing some.
Realizes that God is more intimate as beloved than any beloved we can imagine. And when we hear these great lovers who have really found the beloved in Him, when they sing these songs, it's so beautiful. And yet, you see, it is all earned in a way. It is grace, entire grace from Him. But even then, it is in a way earned by your loving. When Meera talks about that she has found this a priceless pearl, this priceless beloved, the beloved that has no price, but she has earned it by the promises of previous lives, by her steadily on and on, loving, loving, holding on, step by step. And then that others laugh. They say, some say he's dark, some say he's fair. But Meera says, I chose him with my eyes open. And then some say, oh, it was stolen. Oh, it was this. But she says, I've earned it by the constant drumming of that divine drum, which means every heartbeat. मैं तो लियो पिया मोल सखीरी मैं तो लियो पिया मोल I purchased my beloved according to this song she says with my heart with my blood with my tears with my love with my many lives of it मैं तो लियो पिया मोल मैं तो लियो पिया मोल 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 रे मैं तो लियो पिया मोल कोई कहे कालो कोई कहे गोरो कोई कहे कालो कोई कहे गोरो लिया है आंखे खोल सखीरे मैं तो लियो पिया मोल सखीरे मैं तो लियो पिया मोल कोई कहे चोरी कोई कहे छानी that means stolen, hidden
and
sorted out कोई कहे चोरी कोई कहे छानी लिया बजा के ढोल सखेरे लिया बजा के ढोल सखेरे मैं तो लियो पिया मोर कोई कह That's the third line. कोई कहे चोरी कोई कहे छानी नहीं मेरा के प्रभु गिरधर नाल गिरे पूर्व जन्म का ओ सखीरे Some say this and some say that, but it is the promise of long ago, of previous lives.